Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for your many blessings. Lord, I lift each and every person that's sick this morning at home for whatever reason, that your hand would be upon them, that their healing would come quickly. Father, I pray now that as we open up and we study your word, that your Holy Spirit would be ever present, Lord, ministering to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that there would be healing in hearts and minds this morning, that there'd be restoration this morning. May your will be done now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. This morning, what I'd like to talk to everybody about us as a church being the bride of Christ, and not only that, but also our marriages this morning. I used to do a four-part series. I did it like every year for, probably 3 or 4 years, talking about marriage and the different problems in marriage, to try and build up the families and make our marriages stronger. Heard this week about another marriage breaking up, and it's just it's breaking my heart. And so the reason why, if you're not married, don't tune out, because we are also the bride of Christ. Okay, and so that's where in all of this message today, I want each one of us to understand, whether you're married or not, you are the bride of Christ when you're part of God's family. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Who's that talking about? That's talking about the church. That's talking about who we are, that we've made ourselves ready. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, it says, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." See, we are the bride of Christ. Each and every one of us, if you are a child of God, you are a bride of Christ. And in Corinthians, he's talking about us being presented pure and righteous and holy. And then, if you will, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And this is so much talking about wives and husbands, but it's also a representation of what the church is to Christ, okay? And so often in our society, marriages are failing because this right here is messed up. It's not in the proper order, and it's not how we're not living by the way that God has showed us to live. In Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." So right there's two parts. We like, some of y'all is probably going, "What? You're saying wives submit to the husband? That's like caveman stuff. That's biblical stuff, okay? And that's how we should be living." But not only that, it's saying just as we submit to Christ. So how many of us in our lives are truly submitting to Christ and reflecting that in every day? And especially as husbands and leaderships in home, how many of us are saying to our wives, "Follow me because I'm following Christ"? And our wives can see that in us. And how many of us as Christians can our co-workers see that in us, that we're submitting to Christ in everything? So often the wives want to be in control of their husbands, but that's not biblical. And so often husbands want to be in control of everything instead of submitting to God. And our families and our lives are all messed up. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Can I tell you something, husbands? If you love your wives the way you should be, there's not going to be as much resistance in them submitting to you. When they know that you want the best for them, that you love them in that way. Let me ask you, if someone is telling you to do something, and you know how much they care for you, even though you may not understand it, even though you might not get it, But you know that they care for you. Is it not a whole lot easier to be obedient to that person that's telling you to do something? Like, some of my bosses are good bosses, and it's a lot easier when they tell me to do something, but some of my bosses are not very good bosses, and I'm not going to lie, it's really hard to submit to them sometimes because you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're messing everything up. It's the same in a marriage, and it should be the same with us with God. If God is the authority in our life and we know how much God loves us, even when things don't make sense, He wants the best for us. Husbands, how much better is it when your wives know how much you love them and that you're not out to harm them, that you're not out to hurt them, that they will submit to you? Let me find my spot again. I think I'm at 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of His body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect her husband. Church, can I tell you something? When a wife honors her husband, it's going to make him better. When you respect your husband and you submit to his authority, I almost guarantee you that he, when he sees that, he is going to try his best to be a better husband. And husbands, if you truly love your wife the way you ought to, you're going to see a change in your wife like you've never seen before. But I think sometimes in life we get so busy, we get so occupied with things, and then what Satan is coming in against the church, against families, against marriages, and trying to destroy them in any way he can. Why is Satan trying to destroy marriages so adamantly? It's because it represents the bride of Christ. It represents who we are. So if the marriages are falling apart all around, then that's supposed to be a representation of us and God being the bride of Christ, then the church is failing also. The church is falling apart. Satan is winning. We look at so many marriages, so many homes, so many moms and dads are leaving and abandoning ship, so to speak. And it's happening in churches, and it's happening in homes, and it's happening in marriages. Now, if you've been divorced, I'm not here to bring condemnation on you. We have several divorced people here. I'm not here to bring condemnation on you. God can forgive that. And maybe you being divorced, you can relate to this more than most, as seeing how Satan entered into your home and destroyed your family. You know, I'm from divorced parents, and can I tell you something? It's not always fun. It's not always fun, but then it's so cool how out of that divorce, God still brought good into my life with step parents that I love very much now. So God can take things that are destroyed and put them into something beautiful once again. But for all of you that are married this morning, I want to encourage you and tell you, don't let Satan come in and destroy your house, destroy your home. I want you to think about what the verse here, the two being united to one, the two becoming one flesh. If we go back to Mark, let me get back there. Mark chapter 10. It's another verse about the two becoming one flesh, but it's also talking about divorce here. Mark 10, verse 3, and it says, "What did Moses command you?" He replied, They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law." Jesus replied, "But at the beginning of creation, God made male and female." That's who God made. That's the creation, male and female. There's no them and they and it and maybe and might be and this and that next week and change their mind. It's male and female. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about two becoming one, and I was thinking about any of you that have been married or planning on getting married, marriage can be hard. Anybody ever? I didn't get any amens to that. Marriage can be hard, right? It can be. And it's the two becoming one. And we come from different backgrounds. We come from different parents. We come from, different likes. And two becoming one is not always easy. And I was thinking about like equipment and machinery. And when you're trying to put equipment and machinery together that don't always go together, it doesn't always work. And for some reason in my mind, have any of y'all ever seen the movie Apollo 13 with Tom Hanks? It's from like the early 90s. I got a few nods here, and it's been years since I've seen it, but the Apollo 13 is damaged, and the astronauts in it are gonna die unless the NASA is able to figure out stuff. But there's one scene in the movie where I think it's been a while since I've seen the movie. It was the carbon monoxide was pouring in where the astronauts were. And if they didn't get this fixed, they were going to die. And there's a scene in the movie that they bring all the top engineers in, and they got them all in this room, and they throw a pile of duct tape and plastic pieces and all this stuff on the table. And they said, unless you can figure out how to turn this into this, they're going to die. And it's basically putting a square peg in a round hole is what they had to do. Anybody remember that part of the movie, or am I the only one? If you haven't ever seen the movie, it's okay. You get my drift. Those engineers were able to figure out how to transform the junk, basically, that they had up there into a mechanism that saved these astronauts' life. But it took hard work, and it took dedication, and it took even thinking out of the box. Y'all, in a marriage, it takes hard work. It takes dedication, and sometimes it's even thinking out of the box of how are we going to make this work, because it's two becoming one, and that's not always easy. But that's God's plan, and that's what we should be striving for, and that's what we should be thinking about. Even though we're coming from two different backgrounds and two different upbringings, it's the two becoming one. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want you to think about that. Back to us being the bride of Christ. If you are part of the church family, you're the bride of Christ. It's, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so often, what are the struggles that we have with the church? I don't get what I want. I think we should do this, and I think we should do that, and I think we should do this. What about in marriages? Well, you're not doing this, and I'm doing that, and you're doing this, and I'm doing that. Me and Crystal were talking about this week in relations to people and divorces and stuff, and we were remembering back when our kids were little, and one of the biggest fights is, who does more? You guys ever have those fights? I've changed diapers all day. I've done this and I've done that. Well, I was out working and I've worked hard all day, and then you want me to come in and change the diapers and feed the baby. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. But where's that fight centered around? It's what I want. It's my needs and what I've been doing. But see, when we've been crucified with Christ, it's I no longer live, but it's Christ living in me. And if we would just begin to think about that in our walk with God, can we truly say, I no longer live. My desires don't matter anymore. It's Christ living in me, and that should be the desire of our life. In our marriages, can we say, I no longer live anymore, and we're really able to live that out. One of the things that I was talking about when we were first married, but one of the things that can happen after you've been married a while is you begin to get comfortable. And we and we stop trying. And church, this isn't just with a marriage. It's also with our walk with God. You've lived for the Lord for 10, 20 years. You've heard that verse before. You've read that Bible. You've heard that sermon over and over. And we get comfortable and we zone out. Y'all, sometimes I can read the same verse and get something that I've never got before, even if I'd read the verse 10, 20, 30 times. And y'all, sometimes in our marriages we get comfortable and we begin to take each other for granted, and then what happens? Unmet expectations. One of the biggest things in marriages too is expectations. You expect things to go a certain way, and when they don't, you get mad. I'm going to bring up some of my stories again. Some of y'all have heard the Egg McMuffin story. I told it in the men's meeting, and I think I've shared it here. But one night, I was expecting Egg McMuffins for supper. Anybody like Egg McMuffins? I like breakfast foods for supper. And my mouth is almost watering as I'm coming up the driveway for these Egg McMuffins. I'm thinking, yes! And I come in, and Egg McMuffins ain't what's for dinner. And I asked Crystal this morning, I said, do you even remember what it was that you made that night? She's like, I really don't. It was probably over a year ago. I think it was leftovers, that there was enough left that she didn't want to go to the waste, so the Egg McMuffins was going to be the next night. But I was mad, and I acted like a baby, because I had an expectation of Egg McMuffins. You know what most of our fights are about now? Food. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, when we're snowed in, and Crystal's making homemade waffles. Oh, we borrowed Mark and Demisha's waffle iron and homemade waffles. And I hadn't been out of the house in 3 days. My driveway's terrible. And my brother, he calls and he says, do you guys need anything from the store? And he goes real close to my house when he's leaving. I said, if you'll just come by and get me, I'll ride to the store with you so I could just pay for my own. And he did. So he comes by to get me, and Crystal's got the waffle sitting there. And I said, just wait till I get home before you make mine. She's cooking and apparently didn't hear me. So we go to the store, and then we see my dad. We stop by, and our little 10, 15-minute trip to the store took almost an hour. And I'm sitting there, my mouth's watering again, and I'm thinking about them homemade waffles. It's almost noon, and I ain't ate all day, and I'm ready to go home. And I said, Jeff, let's go. I got food waiting on me. So he goes and drops me off, and I see the mess is not there. And where's my waffles? They're on the plate. I told you to wait till I get home. And I get over, and you know what happens to waffles after they sat out a while? They get soggy. She said, I thought you was just going to get milk. I didn't know you was going to be gone that long. I said, I told you. And then Hayden's there, and he's looking at, geez, Dad, you're kind of being a baby. I was being a baby. My waffles were soggy. But my wife, being the genius that she is, she says, put them in the toaster and just try it. And I'm whining and being a baby the whole time I put them in the toaster, and whining and griping. And she's, you know, she says, you'd think you'd appreciate your wife making you homemade waffles instead of acting the way you're acting. And I'm trying to smile as I'm complaining. You know what? The waffles were awesome in the toaster. They still tasted good. She said, your waffles were probably even better than ours because they weren't as crispy as I liked. And it ended up being a good thing. But y'all, how quickly that could have escalated into something really stupid and bad. And I go out and I give her a kiss and I tell her thank you. And she's like, oh, now you're just trying to be nice. And, you know, she's laughing and I'm laughing. But y'all, it's how quickly Satan can come in and destroy our homes over just stupid things. You think about it. When was the last time you had a fight with someone? Whether it's at work or whether it's at your husband or your wife. And when you really get down to the core, what was the problem? Well, it was unmet expectations, or I want what I want because I deserve it, because I work hard, because. And where is the dying to self? Where is the putting others first? Whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, in your marriage, where is the servant attitude of because we get so comfortable with each other, and you say, well, that's her job, that's his job, that's someone else's job, and we just quit trying. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. See, in our marriages, when fights happen, it's usually selfish desires that have come in, and the unmet expectations. And where is the, I'm going to honor you above myself, and the brotherly love, and church, and like I said, we are the bride of Christ, whether you're married or not, in the workplace, and in friendship, and in so many ways, are we honoring others and showing them God's love, showing them the compassion, showing them the right way that we should be living. 1 Corinthians 7:4-5 says, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I'm going to be real vague in all this. But how often do you consider yourself as belonging to God, number one, and then to your spouse? When you don't feel like it, but you do it anyway. When you whatever the situations, you honor your spouse by giving of yourself to them. In church, that could be from doing a load of laundry, to cleaning up the supper dishes, to what husbands and wives do. When was the last time that maybe you honored your spouse, that you honored God by giving of yourself and doing something that necessarily you didn't want to do? And see, why does it say that? Because you don't want to give a place for Satan to come in and tempt you. And y'all, that's not just in the bedroom. That's in so many ways that someone can say, well, my husband, he gives me flowers and he brings me chocolate, and my husband's so great, and my husband's so, this and that. And then the women that's hearing that saying, well, my husband doesn't do that. And then what does Satan do? Begins to put thoughts in their head. Well, if I found me a new husband, he might be a little better than the one I got. Or guys at work talking, my wife does this and my wife does that. And then what does Satan do? He puts thoughts in your head. Well, if my wife did that and if my wife did this. Y'all, I've seen with my own eyes, in front of a group of friends, in front of a group of people, men begin to down their wives and wives begin to down their husband and talk about all their faults and all the things that they're not. And you can just see them begin to sink. I actually had to go years and years ago, and I did not want to do it, but I had to go talk to a man about what some of the things that he had been saying to his wife, and I felt like it was the Lord leading me. Y'all, that's not a fun conversation to have. But God had set it up that the man received it very well, hugged me and thanked me. He didn't even realize what he was doing. He didn't even realize how he was making her hurt. Y'all, how often Satan can come into our homes and destroy us if he can find any crack, if he can find any place that he can come in. Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, I'm not going to say this is every case, but there's been so many times that I've seen people that I didn't think their marriages were bad, that I didn't know even anything was going on. And the wife will begin to hang out with a new set of friends, or the husband will get a new set of friends, and they're all single, whichever way. And before long, here comes the separation and here comes a divorce. Why? Well, my friends are single and they're all going out to the club and they have so much fun and this and that, and they're dating that guy and they're dating, and the guys are the same way, and they get together. Well, my buddies, they get to go to the bar, they get to go bowling or play golf. They don't have to have anybody nagging at them. They can go riding and nobody's telling them what to do. And they get around this group of women or these group of men, and these little comments that make their life seem so good and so great. And what is it? It's a spiritual warfare going on of how Satan can come in and destroy you and destroy your home and destroy your kids and destroy your family. And it's just not that moment. It's generational. My parents have been divorced for over 30 years. We still have separate Christmases, separate birthday parties, separate Thanksgivings. It's just not a moment. It lasts. Satan, if he can destroy us and destroy marriages and destroy homes, it's making a mockery of the bride of Christ. Look at all the divorces taking place, and we're called the bride of Christ. The bride should be something honored. The bride should be something that's so beautiful and so wonderful. That's why we're called the bride of Christ with in the church and to our Heavenly Father. But Satan wants to destroy that and wants to mock it and wants to ridicule it. About to wrap up. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. That's not just in marriages. That's the way that we should be living our lives as the bride of Christ, as Christians, that we should no longer live, it's repeated again, for ourselves. But we should be living for Him who rose again. So verse 16, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. When we get in a fight in our marriages, when I get upset at work, what's usually happening? It's the old nature. I'm not going to lie. It's the old nature. I'm getting messed over. They're not recognizing me. They're not helping me. What do they think? And it just goes on and on and on. Verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You see what that's saying? That we should be a messenger of God's message of reconciliation, that He died for our sins, not counting our sins against us anymore. That's great news. And then verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Church, it's great, great news. It's the best news that Jesus Christ paid our debt on that cross and died for our sins. And then it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors to say, look what the Lord's done. Look what the Lord's done. And y'all, I've seen broken home and broken marriages and broken family and broken people and drug addicts and those addicted to all kinds of garbage. God transform and restore and make things new. And so we as children of God, as the bride of Christ, our marriages, our lives, our work lives, we ought to be the ambassadors because we are representing Jesus Christ. You know how many times I stop myself from making a smart comment? Because I know I'm representing Christ. And then sometimes when I slip up and I've heard, well, Mr. Christian, I hate it. I hate it when I slip up. But y'all, I don't want to be fake. I want it to be real and being that new creation in Christ welling up in me that I'm a better worker. And I don't want to just be a better worker. I want to be the best. Why? Because I represent Christ. I don't want to just be a good husband. I want to be the best. Why? Because I represent Christ. I don't want to just be a good dad. I want to be the best. Why? Because I represent Christ. I don't want to just be a good preacher. I want to be the best. Why? Because I'm representing Christ. Y'all, we are Christ ambassadors, each and every one of us. And whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're a teenager, whether you're the oldest person in this church, God has work for you to do. And people's looking at your life because you're the bride of Christ. How many of us are living it out, and especially in our homes? You know, in our homes, we kind of let off and we can be who we really are. But that's the moment that we need to show the most love to those that are the closest to us sometimes, because they need the grace, they need the forgiveness, because you see their faults, they see your faults. We must be quick to forgive in our relationships, especially in marriage, because I want you to think about all that God's forgiven you of. You know, some of us will remember stuff from last month, from 10 years ago. We've got a little book and a little tally sheet. Well, they did this to me, and they did that to me, and they did this to me, and they did that to me, so I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. That's not the way to win people over to Christ. That's not the way to be a representative of Jesus Christ. I wrote down the four things that I used to, and it's probably been 3, 4, 5 years since I've done that, but when I used to do the four-part thing on marriage, and I did the words we say was one of them. Be careful with the words you say. Your words have power. Be careful what you're saying to your wife, to your husband, to your kids. Your words have power. Number two, priority. Who's a priority in your life? I remember I do this with all the marriage ceremonies that I do and people that will show up to the pre-marriage counseling and stuff, but I always tell them, if God's here, and you're here, and your wife's here, and you look at it like a teepee, like a triangle, and what happens? The closer you get to God, the closer you're getting to each other. Priority, God number one. Then your spouse. And then your kids. It's hard when your kids are little, but you need to make time for your husband. You need to make time for your wife. But most importantly, you need to make time for God. Number three, what I used to talk about was fighting fair. You're going to fight. You're going to have conflict. The two becoming one, there's going to be disagreements. But when you fight with someone that you love, when you fight with somebody that you care about, you don't want to hurt them, that it's going to last. So fighting fair. And the last one is money and marriage, and that was a big, long thing. I think I got 3 pages of notes on that. One of the biggest things in divorces and destroying a home is money and finances. I don't like talking about money, but y'all, it'll destroy you quickly. And there's where that false expectation comes in. I've shared this before. Guy I know that owns a car dealership and said that husband and wife will come in and look at the new Tahoe or whatever, and he said he can see by the paperwork they can't afford it. But he's got good enough credit, he can buy it. And the husband will say, I just can't afford it. And the wife will go out crying. Said it's within a week, that guy's usually back doing whatever he can to buy that for his wife. And he says, I'm thinking, I see your finances. I see what you make. You can't afford it, but you're doing it anyway. You get stressed out with your credit cards. You get stressed out with your payments. And it's going to hurt your marriage. Have a real expectation, a realistic expectation. So that's it. That's the message today. I hope and I pray for all of you guys in your marriages. And I hope and I pray for all of you all in your walk with God and being the bride of Christ. And I just want to tell you, be on your guard. Satan's at work. Another marriage I heard about this week, and it just breaks my heart. I think that brings to like 10 or 15 in the last 6 months of people that I know or know of that's marriages have fallen apart. And we're a little town. We're a little area. It just breaks my heart. Satan's at work, and he wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our families, and he wants to destroy you. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I lift each and every person up in here this morning, Lord, that each one of us would understand what an honor and what a privilege it is to be called the bride of Christ. Lord, that you died on that cross and forgave us of our sins, that you reconciled us to yourself. Lord, and now you call us your ambassadors. What a privilege that is to be named your ambassadors. Lord, each and every day, may we live that out at work, at home, wherever we are, Lord, may we represent you, that we may bring honor to you. And Father, especially when we're home, Lord, teach us to forgive quickly. Teach us to die to ourselves. We might show love and commitment, even when things are hard, even when things aren't easy. We might honor you in our marriages. Lord, that we would recognize when Satan's putting those stumbling blocks in our way, that we would recognize when Satan's beginning to cause us to fight, that we would recognize it, that we would rebuke him, and that we would stand firm. May your will be done now in each and every one of us, Lord. If there's relationships here that need to be restored, that you'd tell us, that you'd show us, Lord. If there's people here that we need to make amends with at work, Lord, if there's things that we need to do differently, that right now that your Holy Spirit would be leading us and convicting us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, I'd love to pray with you.
No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control, 'cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control, 'cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
I want to encourage you all to to pray for each other. Pray for the people around you's marriage. If they're not married, pray for the people around you and in their walk with God, that all of us might be true ambassadors of Jesus Christ wherever we go, and that people would just feel God's presence and see God's love. But y'all, we are in a battle. And one of the biggest things is recognizing that battle. And when you're in your moment of weakness, when you're in that fight, when you're in that moment of I, stop and say, God, help me. I might not say that word, that I might not be mean in that moment, that I might not, whatever. Y'all have a blessed week. Men's meeting Wednesday. Fellowship in 2 weeks. And so I guess we're having finger foods and stuff like that. And so hope everybody can make it. Y'all have a blessed day.